Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 102. In this episode, I'll discuss how to transition from dexmedetomidine to clonidine. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode102. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them.
Joe, what are you doing?
I'm creating some buzz for my book about pharmacists' response to medical emergencies. It's in the final stages and will be published on Amazon before August. I've written the book with the purpose of helping pharmacists learn and refine their skills for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. Dexmedetomidine is an IV alpha-2 adrenergic agonist. It has sedative effects, and it is used for the management of pain, agitation, and delirium in critically ill patients. The use of dexmedetomidine was encouraged in the 2013 Society of Critical Care Medicine Practice Guidelines as part of a benzodiazepine-sparing regimen. While dexmedetomidine is now available generically in the U.S. market, it remains one of the most expensive IV sedatives for use in ICU patients, second perhaps only to remifentanil, if you even use that. At least two studies have evaluated whether enteral clonidine, also an alpha-2 adrenergic agonist, can be used to successfully transition patients off dexmedetomidine. Clonidine has sedative effects, is inexpensive, and has excellent enteral bioavailability. Patients who are hemodynamically stable and no longer require rapid titration of sedative effect may be ideal candidates to transition from IV dexmedetomidine to enteral clonidine. In 2015, two separate hospitals published dexmedetomidine to clonidine strategies. Maine Medical Center published a prospective observational pilot study, while Partners Healthcare in Utah published a retrospective analysis. The Maine strategy included patients with a favorable response to dexmedetomidine for 12 to 24 hours, enteral access for medications, and cardiovascular and hemodynamic stability. Elderly patients, patients weighing less than 100 kilos, or patients on less than 0.7 mics per kilo per hour of dexmedetomidine were given enteral clonidine 0.2 milligrams every 6 hours. All other patients were given 0.3 milligrams enteral clonidine every 6 hours. The dexmedetomidine infusion was reduced by 25% within 6 hours of each clonidine dose if the patient did not have any agitation requiring rescue medications. Using this strategy, a successful transition occurred in 50% of the patients within 24 hours and 75% within 48 hours of the first clonidine dose. The Utah strategy involved most patients starting at 0.1 milligrams enteral clonidine, and this was redosed or titrated every 6 to 8 hours. Dexmedetomidine was then rapidly titrated off, with 65% of patients discontinuing dexmedetomidine within 8 hours of the first clonidine dose. A greater number of patients who discontinued dexmedetomidine within 8 hours had low infusion rates, less than or equal to 0.4 mics per kilo per hour. Combining the apparent successes of these two studies, I'd be inclined to use clonidine 0.1 milligrams Q6 hours for patients on dexmedetomidine 0.4 mics per kilo per hour or less, clonidine 0.2 milligrams Q6 hours for patients on 0.5 to 0.7 mics per kilo per hour of dexmedetomidine, and clonidine 0.3 milligrams Q6 hours for patients on high doses of dexmedetomidine. Only the main study addressed how to taper the patient off clonidine. Clonidine was tapered by increasing the dosing interval every 24 to 48 hours. So for a clonidine maintenance regimen of 0.3 milligrams every 6 hours, the dosing interval is increased to 0.3 milligrams every 8 hours for 1 or 2 days, then 0.3 milligrams every 12 hours, then 0.3 milligrams once daily, and then it stopped. I've attempted to transition a handful of patients from dexmedetomidine to clonidine, but with mixed success. Usually, this is being done not to save drug cost, but to transition an otherwise stable patient requiring dexmedetomidine for agitation to a regimen that they can continue on a medical floor with lower levels of monitoring. Even in patients receiving high doses of dexmedetomidine, it's been a tough sell to some of my physicians to use 0.3 milligrams Q6 hours of clonidine. Despite the tremendous potential to save drug costs, I feel I need to see a well-designed multi-center trial that examines safety and efficacy outcomes before routinely transitioning patients on dexmedetomidine to enteroclonidine. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Many people have asked whether a code for the show can be used in the Amazon mobile app. Unfortunately, Amazon does not have this option. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.